7-day intensive seminar, School of the Master. Lesson 16, Techniques to Nurture My Stem Cells. My stem cells are like anything human and need the vibrations of my loving thought surrounding them and enfolding them with powerful lovingness, giggles, feelings of great joy, and attention all of the time. While I can touch my stem cells physically, I do not need to do this to activate and direct them beneficially for me. I nurture my stem cells by giving them a mental body of purity. Full nurturing is spirit, mind, and body. My attitude controls how I respond to my stem cells, but most importantly, how my stem cells respond to my choices. We have total control. Control of whatever it is we want in our life, in our body, in our affairs, anything. Doesn't matter what it is. We can have unhappiness or we can have happiness. We can have poverty, we can have abundance. We can have anything we want. We can have good relations at the office, good relations with your boss who is in charge of telling you that you can be a clown or not, you know. You're the one who makes the decision, not them. You go in, you say to your boss, I'm taking this clown school, and this clown school is authorized by the medical associations of the world as the most therapeutic activity that any hospital, any organization could give to their patients. And I realize that I'm ahead of my time a little bit, but you'll catch up. So I'm not worried. And I'm willing to take this genius talent that I have trained in my schools of comic and apply it in every activity that I am working with you in your organization, whatever it may be. It may be Spidex, it may be the Hospital Royal of Zurich, or it may be, who knows, you know. You may be the Queen's jester. Ho, ho, ho! The Queen's medical jester. How about that gesture? Jester. And gesture and gestor, both are correct. So, the Queen's medical jester and gestor. Jester and jester. They're both the same, aren't they? Jester and jester. Gesture and gestor. The jester is the one who makes fun, and the gestor is a motion or a movement that indicates something, you know. When you are in an auction and you make a gesture, you bought the merchandise. Careful, careful. You may not have wanted it, but the jester always knows what gesture to make for the proper gesture to accomplish the goal of the jester. Yes, sir. My stem cells are like anything human and need the vibrations of my loving thought surrounding them and enfolding them with powerful lovingness, giggles, feelings of great joy, and attention all of the time. Now, we know children. I mean, you know, everybody has been exposed to a child once in a while, whether we like it or not. And what do these children do? These children are always clamoring for money. They're clamoring for toys. They're clamoring for food. They're clamoring for all sorts of things. But what are they really clamoring for?
Attention.
Attention. They want attention. Do they want a house or a car? Do they want toys? Do they want food? Do they want anything? Nothing. You give them attention and they're happy. Of course, if you give them poverty-stricken attention, you know, then that won't satisfy them. They want attention which is what?
Abundant.
One-on-one.
Hmm? Abundant.
What?
Abundant.
Abundant. So, speak up. Abundant attention. Okay, now, what is a... Well, no, they don't really want abundant attention. They want what?
Quality of
quality attention or significant attention. They want attention that's just for them. Now, all you children come in the living room here, I want to tell you a story. Now, the story is about Rochelle. Now, Rochelle just came home from school, and she had something wonderful to tell me. And I'm going to share it with you. But all the kids are listening, thinking, what the heck is this, and who cares, you know? And so Rochelle got an A on her paper at school today. And all the kids say, well, goody, goody gumdrop. She always gets A's. What's so good about that? Well, Rochelle got an A on her brother's homework. She turned in her brother's homework instead of hers, and her brother turned in her homework instead of his. And now I'd like to tell you the rest of the story. Her brother got an F on his homework that he turned in that Rochelle had written. Rochelle always gets an A. And guess what? It was a beautifully done piece of work which was far superior to anything your brother has ever done in his life. And I suspect the teacher thinks he might have copied it. Well, we're going to go to school tomorrow, and we're going to show the teacher the two papers, and we're going to show the teacher what Rochelle's teacher thinks of her brother's writing. What Rochelle's teacher thinks of her brother's writing. Do you know that? Rochelle's teacher is 6 grades above your brother here, and she thinks his writing is great. Actually, she thinks anything Rochelle does is great, so therefore it could slip through. But nonetheless, it went through. Now, that kid will paste that in his memory book because that paper got an A from this teacher grades ahead of his own. Now, who is listening to the story? Rochelle and her brother. You think the rest of the kids are interested? Maybe. Now, a good mother says, all right, now, Paul, he did something very special today too. Paul swept the front sidewalk. He was not sure he wanted to do it, but he swept the front sidewalk. And when he swept the front sidewalk, he swept in the stair step of the front sidewalk coming up from the sidewalk up to the house level. And as he swept in the stair step, guess what he found? He found $5 bills with a paper clip on them. And he ran into the house and said, Mom, 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 look what I found. And I said, wonderful. Now we'll put a notice on the tree out there and we'll say, anyone who lost $5 bills with a paper clip on it can report to us and tell us what they lost and we'll give it to them. And the boy said, Mom, that's not the way to do it. You put a note on the tree saying, money found. Describe it. And it's yours, you know? And, okay, that's fair enough, too, you know. I mean, people should know what they lost, especially the $5 bills in a paperclip. And so they put the notice on the tree, and nobody called. Nobody checked. Nobody noticed it. And so the boy was able to keep the many $5 bills. And then his sister, she was playing with her dolls, and the arm came off of her doll. And it was the doll that her grandmother had and had given her, and she really didn't care too much about it. She'd drag it around, and she'd beat it around, and she would be real terrible with that doll. And her mother always says, that's from your grandmother now. Appreciate that. Love that. And so she dragged that doll around and banged it against everything, and the arm came off. And when the arm came off, she went to her mother and said, Mother, my doll's arm came off. What am I going to do? And the mother said, well, let's take a look. Now, show me where the arm is and where is the doll. So she brought out the arm and she brought out the doll. And the mother said, did you look inside of that doll? And the little girl said, no, of course not. I don't really like the doll. Well, can I have the doll? Of course. Give me something better. She said, well, first, before you give away, take a look inside. So she looked inside the doll, and there she found a little box. And in the little box was a beautiful wedding ring. It was a wedding ring from her grandmother, from her grandfather. A beautiful gold wedding ring with all sorts of lovely engraving on it, so tiny that it took a very special eye to read it. And the mother said, "Do you know, if you took this and gave it to your grandmother, she would be very happy. I imagine she forgot that." And so the little girl took the wedding ring in the box and the doll and the arm to her grandmother and says, "Grandma, I was kind of careless with the doll and the arm came off, but look what I found inside." And Grandma looked at it and she started to cry and 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 cry. And the little girl said, "Mother, Grandma, what did I do wrong? What did I do? What did I do?" "Oh, sweetheart, you did nothing wrong. You just reminded me of the wedding that your grandfather and I had. It was one of the most wonderful weddings in the entire world. We went off on a trip by ourselves, and we married ourselves. And we sat under this beautiful tree, and he gave me this ring. And he said, 'Will you be mine?' And I said, 'All the time.' And we were married. And we were married. That was our marriage." "And you mean you never were legally married?" "Nope, never legally married. We were married. We had 12 children, and each of our children have at least 5 or 6 of them, you know. So we have a very, very excellent family." "Well, Grandma, aren't you supposed to be married when you get married?" "We were married. We were married by God." "Oh, okay." So it was okay. And so Grandma says, "Sweetheart, I want you to come and show this to Grandpa. And let's see what he has to say." So she took it and showed it to Grandpa. And Grandpa, too, was all weepy and all emotional about it. And he said, "My little sweetheart, you always were my prize, and now I know why. You are just so precious, so wonderful. I want you to have something else that's very special that you can keep this time. And it's something perhaps you like very much." And that's another story. But these are how these things go. These are how these things go, that when we are able to realize children want attention, and they want personalized attention, and beautiful things come from personalized attention. As mother included all the children in the family, all of the children had a great interest. They were listening with all their ears and all their thoughts and mind, and great things came. This is how our white stem cells are. Our baby stem cells in our brain, born new every day. They are like little children who like to have attention. Now, if you had a bunch of little children and it was your job to teach them and entertain them, what would be the first thing you'd want to do? What would be the first thing you want to do when you're going to teach and entertain children? You want to get there. Make it easy for you. Yes, you want to get their attention. If you do not have their attention, all of the loving thoughts you have, all of the good attitude you have or intention you have, falls flat on nothing. You know, it is of no value. But when you got their attention, then you got... Now, how do you get the attention of your pure stem cells, your baby stem cells? Your baby stem cells don't have some of the aspects of a human. They don't cry, and they don't wet the pants, and they don't have a need to be fed, except mentally. They don't have a lot of other needs. What need does a baby stem cell have?
Attention.
It needs to be wanted, which is attention. It needs to be wanted. It needs to have a purpose. It says, "What would you have me do, Master? What do you want me to do, Master?" That's a little additional thing that somebody else put in there, but it's good. "What do you want me to do, Master?" Now, that's what the stem cells are saying to us. And they're saying that to us with all their heart and all their love and all their joy. They're saying that because that's what they believe. "What do you want me to do?" And these stem cells are just all lined up, standing on the edge of our hat brim here, you know, looking down at us, saying, "Hey, what you got for me to do? What can I do today, Dad? You know, where can we go play? How can we do anything? What can we do that's exciting? What can we do?" 10,000 of them every day saying to you, what should they do? And you are not prepared. You are not prepared. 10,000! You're overwhelmed. So, what do? You share one at a time. One stem cell at a time. So you stand in your command post and you say, "Next," and down comes the next stem cell. And he says, "Okay, Dad, what's up?" And you say, "Jump in my heart and return it to its original purity and integrity." "Yes, sir. My pleasure. My joy. Shut up and do it. You know, go, move it, you know. I got 10,000 stem cells to put jobs on. Get going, move it now, you know." And so the stem cell jumps into the heart and gets to work. And he sings as he's working in his big hollow heart, "Oh, I'm so happy, I'm so happy, I'm so happy. I'm cleaning up this place today. I'm so happy, I'm so happy, I'm so happy. I'm making this place okay." And you see, it's wonderful. And then you get sort of hung up listening to the stem cell singing as he's working there, and you forget about the other. Okay, you guys, next guy comes down. He says, "Okay, I have in me 9,999 organs, actions, and functions. And I have put one to work already, so now the rest of you go for the other organ, actions, and functions, and return them to their original purity and integrity." "Yes, sir, Dad." And they fly to the places that they are to go. But now there are two left, two stem cells left. And they say, "Well, Dad, what are we going to do?" And Dad says, "Well, since I have nothing in me for you to do, we're going to have a party." "What's a party?" "Well, a party is where we have fun together, where we sing and we dance and we laugh and we jump and we do all sorts of wonderful things." "Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy." Well, so you have your party with the two. And the rest of them come back and they find out that there was a party. And they say, "Hey, that's us party too." So you have 9,998 parties going on all over the place. But that's just today. Now, tomorrow is dawning. It is now 11:59 p.m., ready for a new day, and the new day, pop, out comes 10,000 new stem cells saying, "Hey, Dad, what we got to do today?" And they all want attention. And you say, "Well, most of the work's done, you know. They got me all cleaned up. I'm just spitting vinegar all the way, and I'm just happy as can be. All right, here's what we'll do, fellas. Here's what we'll do. I think that it'd be nice if all over the world, everybody had a chance to experience unconditional love. Now, you 10,000 stem cells, you go and visit 10,000 people and shower them with unconditional love. Don't tell them I sent you. You just go and shower them with unconditional love anonymously." And they say, "Righto." A little English background on some of them, you know. "Righto, Dad." And so off they go to do this, and they bring about miracles. And then the next day is here. And there's another 10,000 stem cells. "Okay, guys, I would like you to go around the 104 acres of the University of Healing, University of Philosophy, School of the Master acreage here, this campus, and bless every inch of the campus. Every plant that is growing, let it grow to its ultimate, to be perfect in every way. Let every little plant, every little grass blade grow all perfectly and always remain perfectly mowed, you know. Always everything in park condition, you know, just like a beautiful, not amusement park, but a beautiful garden park. Just wonderful. And you say, okay, that keeps those 10,000 busy. There's a lot of work there to do. And the next day, you look around and you say, hey, cool. And then you say, well, gee, we were talking about a pond out there. What kind of pond should we have? What kind of pond? I got 10,000 laborers ready to go to work. So what kind of pond do we want? Now, if we would have a little volcano or earthquake here, it would sort of build up a wall on the north edge of the property. So the water coming from the south edge down the mountainsides will fill up that basin if we make a basin. But if we make a basin, then the embassy, the embassy and the Citadel and the Shangri-La and the Oasis is probably okay, but Hermitage, they would be underwater. So first, let's build a proper basin for it. Oh, let's build a basin this way. The basin starts at the Paradise Garden and goes south. And so at the Paradise Garden, there is a large rise of rock and stone and others which are impervious to water. The water just remains there. And then it fills up back into the basin up to the waterfall. Sounds interesting, huh? And then we would have our boats up over there, and we'd have our ducks and things up over there, and then our house would look right out upon that. Be quite beautiful. And it goes down into the Paradise Garden, or even all the way, and makes it quite nice. It's so gentle looking, you don't realize how good it is. And we could have it deep if we wanted to, too, because that's perfectly okay. So I say to these 10,000 stem cells, all right, guys, produce. I would like you to use your creative imagination of putting a beautiful lake in this area, not just a pond but a lake, and let it go back over in this area and back over in this area and back over in this area, be fingers all over the place and just beautiful. And it is fed by artesian wells. At each corner of the lake is an artesian well, constantly pumping out maybe 12,000 gallons of water every minute. You know, really nice, fresh water sprouting up in the air to make its own little fountain and so forth. And then in the middle of the lake, there's a pond, there's an island here and an island there. Not significant, but just a nice island on which the ducks can climb to lay their eggs and have their little ducklets and things like that. So it's just great. Now, that's nice. Now, that would be an attraction for people to come from the south to come and enjoy that lake. And that's okay. Except the next set of stem cells who come along after the first set build it, we say, all right, guys, we would like this lake to be invisible. Nobody knows about it except us. And surrounding the lake are beautiful grove of pine trees going up the side of the mountain, and nobody sees it. Everyone who sees this from an aerial photo or anything else, they just see it as it normally is. But we see it as it is in its pristine form. And nobody cares about it. Nobody's interested in it. But it's our lake. And we enjoy it. And all of our students enjoy it. And all of the people who come to campus enjoy it. And we have many beautiful little resort cottages all around the lake for people to live in and people to enjoy. And there are many boats in the lake where people can, and the lake is perfect for swimming in. The water is always the ideal temperature for swimming. Not hot, not cold, just pleasantly toasty. And maybe it's nice. Now you're saying, what imagination, what crazy thinking? No? Do you know there are places like that? What's one of the places we've read about like that? Come. Shangri-La. Shangri-La. I mean, you know, Shangri-La, the story of Shangri-La is a place just like that. You were going to say further, Irene?
I was thinking of Mount Shasta.
Mount Shasta?
It's different.
Mount Shasta has that there, but you don't know it. You know what I mean? You could have known it, and I offered it to you several times, but you didn't take it. And you went to look, but you went to play more than you went to look. And if you had just kept yourself one-pointed, dedicated on looking, remember? Mm-hmm. Remember? Remember how close you were to walking right into the mountain? How close you were to having that experience? Yes. And how Jan jumped off the side of the mountain instead of going in it? Interesting. Oh, if you think about it, you've been introduced to a lot of fascinating things that you didn't really think were so important because you didn't believe it for yourself. You have to have a wonderful imagination to enter into these things. And once you have that imagination, you will do it. Now, what's your name? Jewel or something? Writer of Harry Potter. She was a normal, ordinary mother, single mother, a normal, ordinary employed woman of moderate means. She was a normal, ordinary woman with magic in her mind that she lets out only on paper. She lets it out only in her writing. And then her writing becomes exposed to the world, and she's an instantaneous success. She doesn't wait 7 years like Jonathan Livingston Seagull. She's an instantaneous success and becomes more successful with each book she puts out. And she becomes the richest woman in all of England. And as she becomes all these things, what does she do? She enjoys it. And she's having fun, and she and her daughter are quite pleased with their way of living and their lifestyle, and they're quite happy. But if you had said to this woman, "Look, you stupid jerk, don't you know that in just 2 years you're going to be the richest woman in all England? Ho, 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 ho," you know? Isn't that what we say? Now, why didn't she believe that? Why didn't she accept that? Why was she only able to do her writing and do her magic in her writing and not do her magic in her everyday living, you know? Now, I recommend to you that you let your stem cells be your precursors of your magic in everyday living. Let them be the magic that goes on in your body, the magic goes on in your mind, in your spirit, in your soul. The magic that goes on in your work, in your household, in your family. Let this magic be so fantastic, so glorious. But you've got to have some imagination for it. Some imagination. Now, do you think the mother knew that this little girl was going to bring her broken-off arm dolly and say, "Mommy, my doll lost his arm, you know. The doll that I hate and the doll I don't like, you know." Well, sweetheart, let's take a look. Now, did Mommy stick that in there, that box? Did Mommy stick that ring in there? Did Mommy bring that? Mommy said, "Let's see if there's something special about this doll. Let's look inside of the doll. Let's see what Grandma packed in there when she was a little girl and she had to replace the arm too." Because the arm has come off a number of times when the doll is dragged around by its arm like that. It's a natural thing. And yet no one had found the wedding ring until this little girl. And this little girl, it became her magic. And just the beginning of beautiful adventures that she and her grandmother and grandfather had to get together. You see, the white stem cells, the beautiful stem cells, are there to bring magic in our life, not always the way we think about it, but the way we're ready for it. The way we're ready to accept it and to know it and to enjoy it. Now, are you ready for your white stem cells, your magic stem cells, to produce for you? You can. You can. I wondered why Christie was so happy with all the items that I had put onto the internet on our seminar so far. And I thought, you know, I haven't got many on there at all. And then I went to the archives to check, and I have put over 20 items already on the archives. I mean, 20 items I've already put on it, and here we're at lesson 16. And it's amazing. You don't realize what you do. You don't realize how you do it. You don't realize. And they worked, because I made each one come up and play for me for a second or two so I could see that it actually was there and was working. But now, you see, I can't take the credit for that. I take the credit for being the instigator and being the manager, the director, being the papa. But who did the work? My stem cells. My stem cells guided me as I put that on there, or maybe they put it on there. I'm sure that might have been the thing too. And they got on there beautifully, perfectly. One or two got on twice, but all the rest of them are beautiful singles. And they're very, very nice. Now, we don't know. We think, oh dear, this is so difficult, I can't do it. But then when you realize you've done it, you say, wow, how wonderful. And the magic just jumps in and out of you. You feel like bouncing for joy. You just feel, so you want to go tell everybody about it. But of course you don't, because it was yours. It was your blessing. So, my stem cells are like anything human, and need the vibrations of my loving thoughts surrounding them and enfolding them with powerful lovingness, giggles, feelings of great joy and attention all of the time. Don't forget that. You're in charge. Now, we take the second point here. While I can touch my stem cells physically, I do not need to do this to activate them in a beneficial way for me. We don't have to touch our stem cells physically to have them be beneficial to us. We can do that. I mean, what?
How?
How what?
How can you touch them?
I don't know. Are you a scientist? You have a scalpel? A scalpel? A scalpel. Do you have a knife? Can you cut in there? Ellen? Mm. Can you cut in there? Can somebody do it?
Yeah.
All right. If somebody can do it, anybody can do it. Now, just because you don't choose to do it because you're inexperienced, because you didn't go to med school, well, okay, that's your problem. But anyone can do it. Now, do you want to go in there and take a knife and cut out one at a time and put it where you want to have it? Now, that's a very tedious thing to do. Now, these scientists over in China, the medical surgeons who are putting these many hundreds or thousands of stem cells in this little child's head. Now, is that the only thing they're doing? Is that the only child they're working on? Is that the only person that they're putting stem cells into? No way. That's the one we have publicity on. But they're doing, how are they getting the experience? How are they getting the knowledge of how to do it? They have experience. They have the stem cells available to them, and they don't care where they come from. If the child is passed on and left these stem cells behind, they're able to use them. Their government doesn't have any kibosh on that. So they take these stem cells and they use them however they want. And they have lots of wonderful things happening. And they are so successful, people know about them all over the world. That's why this couple sent their kid over there twice now to be operated on. That's why many people have them to be operated on. Many people are having the services of these doctors who work with stem cells. And you yourself, your own silly little world that before you came here you didn't think a thing about stem cells hardly. And then I showed you all this wiki-uppy information on stem cells. And you saw, here they did it, there they did it. They're doing it in Brazil, they're doing it in Venezuela, they're doing it in Paris, they're doing it in Germany. Oh my, Germany, all those Germany experiments that they're making in the Max Planck Institute, you know. Fantastic. And what about the United States? There's lots of them. Now, they're not sitting back on their hands. They're in there grubbing around in the beautiful stem cells. Just think of the things that doctors have destroyed in their learning process, which could have saved many lives. But if they hadn't destroyed it, they wouldn't have learned about it so they could save the lives. But if they had known about it before they destroyed it, they could have saved their lives with what they learned on. But you see, that's the way it goes. So that's okay. That's okay. It's a game we like to play. No one can kill you ever. Only you can kill yourself. No one can help you live. Only you can help you live. No one can shoot you dead unless you want to be shot dead. No one can take away your life unless you want it. So don't ever worry about killing anybody. If you're driving your car carelessly down the road and you crash into something, you kill some people, don't worry, they wanted that. And they did. But the thing is, you silly people, and me, if we're involved, we do not choose to be involved in somebody else's life and death experience, right? If somebody else wants to commit suicide and be in the Twin Towers, not me. I'm in California. What about the earthquakes? I'm in California. I run along the beach, and this guy came down on the beach as I was running there in Corona del Mar, and they're saying, boy, wasn't that something? I said, wasn't what something? Well, the earthquake. Well, what earthquake? Well, we had an earthquake which was 9 point this or 7.9 or some tremendous number, and it was up in Los Angeles, and it was down into the northern Orange County and so on. It really was a dilly. Wow, bridges fell down. You don't say, you know. And I'm running along there, and it had vibrated the earth on the beach, but I didn't know it because I was just, you know, stepping from vibration to vibration, not even knowing it. And later, as I went on the beach, I could see where it had vibrated, you know, because you could see the sand had been shaken apart in those areas. And so I went home, turned on the TV. Boy, big news, you know, bridges falling down, people falling down bridges, and all sorts of great things. Well, you know, I didn't want to be part of that. I didn't want to go to work that day anyhow. I wasn't going to become part of the project, but it's okay. That's okay. People are in Florida. Ellen, does every single person living in the state of Florida live in the hurricane zone? How many don't live in the hurricane zone? The majority. The majority of the people do not live in the hurricane zone. A lot of people do, but the majority don't. Now, that's by their choice. Those who live there, it's by their choice. People build their tremendously valuable homes right on a cliff overlooking the ocean. Beautiful view. I mean, it's a billion-dollar view. You know, and pretty soon the house is down there on the reef. But the thing is, you live up there maybe 10 years. Maybe 10 years. Then all of a sudden, some strange fluke of nature comes along and decides to trim the bushes a little bit, trim the hedges, trim these cliffs, and down go all those lovely houses. And so now the houses that were a block away from the bluff, they have the view. They have the full view. And for maybe 10 years or more, they may have that view, or maybe even longer, because you never know how those things work. But if they surround their house with their pure white light of love, the cliffs will drop all around them, and they will remain there. They won't have any water or sewer or anything else, because there will be just a big... There'll be an island standing up there. You know, there are like that. You know, like cliff rocks. You know, you've seen pictures of these things in various places, and you drive along the Pacific coast, and here's a big rock out in the middle of the ocean, and another rock leading in from it, and the water goes under it and around it. Been there like 12 million years, and somebody could build a house on it if they want, and to be as stable as a rock, because it is a rock. But the thing is, nobody has been able to do that because it's federal property. You know, it's oceanfront federal property. But you see, your white stem cells know no limitations. Your white stem cells will put that lake in for you. We'll put that pond in for you. We'll put that river in for you. We'll put those artesian wells in for you. They'll put that green forest in for you. They'll make it all invisible if you like. They'll make it all visible. You could be a spectacular park in the middle of no place. And the state will say, that's a national treasure. We want that. And you say, well, when our organization is done with it, or when we decide to move to another place, oh, you want to give us a waterfront place in San Diego? You want to give us 1,000 acres along the waterfront in San Diego where we have this beautiful... That's okay, we'll trade for this. Well, your place is so unique, so special, so wonderful. So, what do? We go to the waterfront place in San Diego and we make another beautiful treasure. And wherever we go, we make treasures and we have joy doing it. And we're not possessed by them. And we don't sell it to the state. We just move to the next place that is provided for us, and away we go. You see, the stem cells want to play. And it's up to you to find something for them to do every day. Because if you don't give stem cells something to do every day, then they will associate with their neighbors and take on the attitude, the atmosphere, and the experiences of their neighbor. And their neighbors are sight, 10-10 sight, or 10-20 sight, or 20-30, or whatever types of sight, but not perfect sight. Their neighbors are not perfect hearing, they're not perfect everything else. And you want your stem cells to associate with perfection. And it's up to you. It's up to me to provide that perfection for them, because they are ready, willing, and able. You know, it takes a lot of guts, a lot of personal fortitude for a mother to say, I choose to teach my children at home. I choose to home learn my children. Well, they won't get all the benefits that the other children have. They won't get this, and they won't get that, and they won't get the other thing. No, but what they'll get is honor, love, trust. They'll get respect. They'll get the belief in themselves. They'll learn how to use their stem cells to the maximum. Every one of my children are now geniuses. Every one of my children are now the most fantastic that ever existed. If they go to school, they might associate with the other children. They don't have to, but they might. And they associate with the other children when they don't get the right association at home. If you at your home, if I at my home, teach my children absolute respect for their elders, then they will have respect for their elders at school or at home. If you teach your children that they are a prince and princess, and that they do not do, not they don't go with, they do not do the things the commoners do. They do not have the ethics, they do not have the aptitudes, attitudes, and conditioning that the common people do. Because they are the prince and princess. Now, maybe they'll go to an ordinary school. But in the ordinary school, they will not stand out for being different. They will stand out for being special, for having integrity, for having honor, for having purity of spirit, mind, and body, for having joy in their heart all the time, for being so unconditionally loving. My God, can you imagine if two little children came into any school who were unconditionally loving, what would happen to that school? That school would go topsy-turvy in no time. Everybody would become unconditionally loving, because unconditionally loving beingness handles itself. Can you imagine what would happen? And you can do that yourself. You can do that yourself with every little child you see. You see the child and you say, huh, you're a genius. Oh, that's nice. Or, you're unconditionally loving. Ooh, you know. They don't know what it means. But it gets into the back of their mind, and their original purity and integrity hears the word unconditional loving. Yes, that's a good word. That's something we all want to follow. You see? Because that's the way the principle works. Now, is that the kind of principle you want in your life? I sure choose to have it in mine, because it's a ball. Okay, point 3. I nurture my stem cells by giving them a mental body of purity. Hey, you guys, let's have an exercise together. I like me, I like me, I like me. I like me, I like me, I like me. I like me, I like me, I like me. I like me, I like me, I like me. I like me, 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 I like me. I like me. And they'll say, Dad, that's neat. Let's do it again. Sorry. It'll be different every time. I don't remember the music. I created as I go along. Now, you guys, you created as you go along. Let's just all take the word, I like me. And you sing it like a soprano. You sing it like a tenor, like a bass, like a baritone. You sing it like any way that you want. And let's all go now. And so we had a catechorum of sound. But always the words what come out?
I like me.
And pretty soon, that's all we know. And you know what's going to happen? When the stem cells, before they've taken off from home, have sung these songs, what's going to happen? Yes?
Spread them all over.
They're going to spread them all over. I got shoes. You got shoes. Oh, God's children got shoes. When I get to heaven, gonna put on my shoes and walk all over God's heaven. Heaven, gonna walk all over God's heaven. So, we got, I like me. We got, I like me. We got, I like me. We do. We got, I like me. We sing, I like me. We do, I like me. I do. And as we walk around our heaven, we touch everybody's leaven. And pretty soon their cake comes out with the sweetest light. Like me. I 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 like me. So, this is what the stem cells are singing. And this is what their brothers, who are, say, 10-10 vision, are hearing. And the brothers who are 10-10 vision are hearing this, and they're saying, can't quite see you. Can't quite see you. Well, clean up your vision. Well, how do you do that? I like me. I got perfect vision. I got perfect vision. I got perfect. I am 20/20 vision. I am 20/20 vision. I am 20/20 vision all the time. I am 20/20 vision. I am 20/20 vision. I am 20/20 vision all the time. I am 20/20 vision. I am 20/20 vision. I am 20/20 vision all the time. I am 20/20 vision. I am 20/20 vision. I am 20/20 vision all the time. Boom! Now, you see, that's what you want to do, right? No? Hey, isn't that what you want to do? Oh, this is what you want to do. You want to get your white stem cells, your pure, beautiful stem cells, to, if you will, sing a song around their brothers. Sing a song around their sisters of the truth about them. My lungs are powerful being, my lungs are powerful being, my lungs are powerful being, my lungs breathe deep. Oh, breathe deep, up, breathe deep, up, I love to breathe deep. Oh, I need a deep, oh yes, I breathe deep, I love to breathe deep. He's reading the lesson for today. Now, our puppy dog lays his head right next to our words for today of the beautiful stem cells doing their thing. Now, can you see this is where you are? This is where you are. This is the place that you are in the allness of all. Are you going to let your stem cells do your bidding? Now, Heinz, if your stem cell is to have your toe whole and perfect, okay? Okay?
Okay.
Thank you very much. I thought you were sleeping. If your stem cell is to have your toe whole and perfect, then why can't your stem cell also have your brain expressing its original purity and integrity? Why can't your stem cell also work with these other stem cells that are up in your head that are already differentiated and redifferentiate them or clean up their differentiation? Their differentiation is taking on whatever they have had for a period of time. This is what their genes, chromosomes, and everything else told them to be. And now these stem cells come along and say, hey, we can be anything we want to be. Anything we want to be. And I'm a perfect toe. I'm a perfect nose. I'm a perfect eye. I am. I'm a perfect ear. I'm a perfect tooth. All 32 of them. Oh, I'm perfect. I'm perfect. I'm perfect. I am. I'm perfect. I'm perfect. I'm perfect. I am. I am. See, have fun with this. Have fun with it. Sing it. Make up songs that are just the most outrageous, most outstanding, the most articulate songs on what you want to speak your word by. And you can, you're filled with music. You're filled with joy. You're filled with your original purity and integrity. Now be that. Be that. You say, well, Herb, you're crazy. Yes, that's true. And to be crazy means I'm not limited by normal things. The normal thing would say, don't do that. And I say, do it. And what do you say when you get in the car and someone's so happy and they take the steering wheel and go, dip, 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 dip. Don't drive like that. You're driving unsecure. I know exactly what I'm doing. You want me to drive unsecure? Watch. How are you doing today? Isn't this a wonderful day? The car's driving itself. We're going 80 miles down the road there, and it's weaving, it's drifting a little bit this way and drifting a little bit that way, but man, it's doing its own thing. You say, crazy man, get away from behind the wheel. You know, no way do I want you driving my car. Well, you have to be crazy to let the joy of the divine in you come out and express. Because if you don't, I remember my dad. He was a heavy-duty father who was making money for the family, taking care of our responsibilities, not spending any time with us kids particularly, and when he did spend it, it was ordering us around, you know, telling us what to do and being very severe. And he was always very, not cold, but not warm. You know, he was just there. Okay. One Christmas, my dad went crazy. He bought us a BB gun. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo. And his chair was on this end of the living room, and the Christmas tree was down at that end of the room, living room next to the grand piano. And my dad sat there in his chair after he checked over the BB gun that we were going to use. He said, let's see how that is. Let's see how that works. And my dad is a marksman, and he's a hunter and that sort of stuff, so it's quite familiar with him. So he sits there, and he says, okay, where's everybody? And to make sure everybody was where he knew where they were. And then he took aim at the Christmas tree balls, you know, the ornaments that hang on the Christmas tree. Bing! 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 And we said, well, can we do that, Dad? Can we do that? No, you don't play with a gun in the house. Bing! Bing! And we sat there like this. Oh, that's our dad. He can be crazy. You know? He is crazy. He's wonderful. He's crazy. He's wonderful. My gosh, I never dreamed my dad could let go, you know, and be like that. And he did it. And I think he finished off most of them, if not all of them. And when they were done, he says, okay, get out the vacuum cleaner. And we had to clean them all up. Now, this was after Christmas, because we'd all had our presents. There was no presents under the tree anymore. Just the little stuff to make it look like snow, you know. But we cleaned it all up. Now, how old was I? 8, 9? Something like that. 7, 8, 9 at the time. And I'll remember it just like it was yesterday. Because it was Pop being something I wasn't familiar with seeing him. It was being that was unique. And all that day, he seemed to have a special glow about him because he had let go for a moment. And he was just a joy to be with. And we liked to sit around him. Nothing. I mean, he didn't do anything special or say anything special. We just wanted to be around him. Wanted to be around this crazy father that we had. And then next day, he went back about his business. I think that must have been a Sunday. So the next day he went back to work, and when he came home, he was a tired, busy guy, and we didn't see much of him. But life is like that. So, you see, your stem cells are like that too. Your stem cells are eager, willing, and able to jump out and get busy and do wonderful things. And that's what you want them to do. So, I nurture my stem cells by giving them a mental body of purity. We did that very nicely. Full nurturing is spirit, mind, and body. My attitude controls how I respond to my stem cells, but most importantly, how my stem cells respond to my choices. We tell our stem cells what to do, and our stem cells do it. We tell our stem cells where we are going and what our values are, and our stem cells carry out where we're going and bring about what our values are. Anytime you see a little red light go out, make sure I know it, okay? Can you see a little red light there? Mm-hmm. Can you? You can? Can't? You can't?
Yeah. Well,
Gregor can. Can you? You can't? Can you? You can see it?
Now I can see.
Can you see a little red light? Ingeborg?
No.
Okay. So, all right. White stem cells. Abracadabra. White stem cells. Heinz has perfect vision now. He sees my little red light. He knows my little red light, and he knows that it's always on. Gregor sees my little red light. He has perfect, ideal eyes, as usual. Ellen doesn't see my little red light, but now she begins to see it, because she realizes it's supposed to be there. And so she is saying to her little stem cells, hey boys, clear up my vision. You know, clear up my vision. I'm getting my pure vision in perfect order so I can see the little red light on Herb's recorder on his chest. And Sylvia, clear up the vision so you can see the little red light on Herb's chest. Oh, you can see it. See, she has distant vision. And she sees well. And Irene, she has distant vision. She is a woman of magic. She has instant vision, distant vision, close vision, and far vision, and all vision, right? And Ingeborg, you have magic vision too, right? And you, magic girl in every area, perfect vision, wow. So, on that note, let's take a break and be ready for lecture 17, Hospitals Are for Wholeness. How about that? I love you. I love you. I love you.